bangers. It's a party, show up. Pops and bangers. Leave the music to us.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Bops and Bangers. I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Ashley.
And you just heard our incredible new theme song. I'm so excited.
We debuted last week.
And it's just gets us going
it
in the morning.
It still feels new to us.
It does. And it's going to feel new to us for the rest of time, I think, at this point.
It's an earworm, let me tell you.
It truly is. But we have some news here in the studio today. Ashley, show off that ring, girl. Show it up. Show it up. Make it glitter. Make it glitter. Yeah, yes. Yes. Tell us everything. Obviously, I witnessed your wedding, and it was beautiful. But from your words, tell everyone how it went.
It went so well. It actually was too smooth, one would say.
Questionable.
We had so much fun.
No.
Kelsey was my maid of honor, so she was there with me the whole weekend.
Baby.
It was incredible. I mean, I am an emotional person, but I don't think I've ever been as emotional as I was that weekend.
Truly.
It was really interesting.
What? Why?
I don't know. I just was so happy.
Yeah, I mean, literally, and I told Ashley this, like, so many people came up to me during your wedding and were like, Sean and Ashley are so in love. I was like, I know. It's kind of gross. But it true, like, you guys radiated love the entire weekend. And even Gabe said to me at one point, like, I don't think I've ever seen Sean this happy.
Oh, that's
and I was
so
just
cute.
Like, it's fine.
I know. It was a really wonderful day.
It really, and let me tell you, she had an incredible playlist that was just throughout the entire ceremony, morning ceremony, everything.
Oh, yeah. I forgot I put on that stuff in the morning, too.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, it was just it's on our Spotify, actually. I created a wedding playlist, and I put it on our Spotify. Because it took me, like, a year to add all the songs to it and figure it out. It's like dinner into party.
And it slapped. It slapped. She also had a saxophonist with her DJ, which was one of the most fun moments.
He was funny.
He loves us.
Oh.
He started following us on Instagram.
Oh, my God. What up, Kevin?
Hey, Kev. honestly, he crushed it. He was
laying on his back. Really got the party going.
He really did. I didn't know I needed a saxophonist for everything in my life until now.
Yeah, no, that was great. And then I wasn't even there for cocktail hour because we had photos, but yeah. God, the harpist and violinist.
Ashley, it was beautiful.
It was a moment.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Ashley walked down to the aisle to Come What May, the Moulin Rouge song, instrumental, and I actually blacked out. I couldn't feel.
What's so funny about that moment was my dad before, because my dad was more emotional than me. He was a mess. And it was funny. He came back to, like, walk me down, and he was like, just imagine you're skiing. Just imagine. Just imagine. We're on the slopes. Like, he was trying
not to
cry.
Giving himself a pep talk. He's like, okay, Mark, you've got this.
And it kind of helped me, because I, like, just
evaporated
for a second, because otherwise I was like,
yeah.
So, I'm like, it was so intense.
Yeah.
Because I'm not, like, a person that likes to go in front of the crowd.
But honestly, you did so, like, I didn't even feel that aspect of nervousness from you.
People came up to me after and were like, you were nervous, because I was kind of shaken, but you were sun blasted, so I don't think you could really see.
True.
Poor Kels.
My eyes were like this.
The girls got, always when you have an outside ceremony, yeah, we were hoping that it wouldn't happen because we weren't facing west, but it was just the time.
And it was hysterical because at one point a hot air balloon covered the sun.
Yeah, and everyone gasped.
Every girl go, oh. It was so nice. But literally the perfect weather, the perfect day.
It was really nice.
Our girls got the bling. She is now a Mrs. I'm so,
it's crazy. Then, like, after the wedding, it was such a weird feeling.
Yeah.
It was very, like, first of all, exhaustion.
Yes.
Sean and I went to go get massages. But you know what's crazy?
What?
A week before the wedding,
yeah,
we had the brand reach out to us.
I know.
Magic Mind.
Ah, our new besties.
They are so sweet. They sent us some of their amazing, like, productive shots.
Yeah.
And they're delicious.
Yes.
I just had Kelsey try them. I've been drinking them. They're super good.
Yes.
They come in these little
cute little
shooters.
Bottles.
You don't have to refrigerate them. And after the wedding, I was so sluggish and tired. And then I got these in the mail, and I tried them. And they really just got me feeling better, more focused, less stressed.
Yeah.
Because like the come down from the wedding,
I was about to say,
is so aggressive.
Yeah, you were so distracted for so long, and now your brain's like, what do I do?
Yeah, and then you just overthink everything that happened, and
yes.
you're like, oh God, oh, yes. oh, that was misplaced. Oh, stop. So it really like just helped me breathe, focus, and
yeah.
kind of get back to being in the right headspace. Because
God,
I was in a little bit of a slump.
Yeah. Which is normal post-wedding,
yeah.
by the way. Very normal.
Very normal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just with a coffee
yeah.
or you can drink it solo. I kind of look forward to drinking them in the morning
Honestly.
Now. They are super good. Magic Mind. You can find them on Amazon.
Ugh.
And, yeah, I would recommend them.
Honestly, and one of my favorite things that I just found out because Ashley brought these to me is how good they taste. Because, like, when I see green juice, I'm immediately like, questionable
yeah.
as to whether or not I'm actually going to enjoy it, but
totally.
That was delicious.
Yeah,
you saw me. I was like, oh, and then kept going.
Surprisingly, it's matcha. It's not like green juice.
See, this is why I love this.
Very Zinger. Good. So yeah, everybody, Magic Mind, go check them out.
So sweet. We have some other catching up things to talk about. Housekeeping, as
oh,
we
yeah.
like to call it.
Yes.
I'd love to first off talk about our event in Los Angeles that's coming up. We are doing a really fun collaboration with Raw Artists LA. They are kind of all over the country as Raw, insert city name here.
Yep.
And they are just really doing a really interesting job of working with artists to help them promote themselves, to make a name for themselves, and give them an opportunity to play.
Yeah.
So we are actually working with them to do all of their little interviews during the event with the artists. We're going to be doing on the street kind of stuff, photography. I mean, we are going to be running around there like crazy people.
I'm so excited.
The vision that Najee has for Raw, he is the LA guy.
Yes.
He has such a cool idea. We have a whole artist lounge kind of thing that's very moody, jazzy.
Jazz. It's going to be a jazz
band.
Room.
With like lamps and beanbag. Like the vibes will be vibing.
Yeah.
And we have some really cool LA artists that are going to be playing our BFF, Malaya.
I'm so excited.
I cannot wait to see her.
We have Lovely Ocean.
We have Lovely Ocean, who was a part of our At Home With series this summer. It's just going to be so relaxed in the coolest way. Like, it's just going to be cool.
Yeah.
So
no,
cool.
I'm excited. So many vendors, so much good music. You guys show up December 2nd.
Yes.
In LA.
Yes, at Stray Angel Films.
Yes.
We'll have all the notes in our show notes, but you could also go to our Instagram and find out all the info there.
You can get the tickets
yeah.
in our show notes also.
Yeah. And yeah. come hang out with us. LA, we never get to you
because
it's rough. But we're really excited. We hope some of you show up, and we're so excited to meet you guys. So definitely look into that event if you're bored and need something to do, aka hang out with the girls. We also are so excited to kind of go over some of the fun things we've been up to. We did go to LA briefly.
It was brief. It was a 24-hour.
It was a whirlwind,
in
if
and
you
out.
Will. In and out. We saw Fred again at the Shrine.
Yep, we are part of that magical week experience that a lot of people got to enjoy, but hot damn.
Hot Y'all,
we were so close to Fred.
Y'all, if you don't know, Ashley and I talk about Fred again ad nauseum
yeah.
at this point.
At this point, I feel like you better know.
At this point, you better know I'm obsessed with this man. Otherwise, you don't know us, you know? But the insanity of Fred Love in
mm-hmm.
that audience
yeah.
was just such a testament to who he is as an artist.
Yes.
And just... holy shit. I lost my damn mind at one point.
You lost your mind. 100%.
I was jumping like I had youth. I was jumping
yeah.
like I don't have arthritis
yeah,
in my
like
big
no
toe.
Back pain.
No back pain. Like, who is she?
You were just high on life.
Lost my mind. And then, guys, if you've seen any of his, like, LA shows, he at one point walks down an
yeah.
aisle. Guys, I knew this. I peeped it out on the floor and saw where we were, and I was like, it could be so. Then when he announces it, literally Gabe, my partner, shoves me to the left
yeah,
to
we
get
were
there.
All right, we were like literally standing right where he walked
it
through.
Was a whole lineup of all of us,
yes,
and we all
gave him one of those like fan high fives down,
just a little.
He like ran through.
Woo! I gave him a little shoulder love, a little I literally have a picture of me, and it's, by the way, from the video we have, which if you haven't seen, go.
It's on our TikTok.
It's on our TikTok. You just see my hand, and then you see Gabe's hand, and I screenshotted that and sent it to the entire family.
Oh,
I was like, guys, I touched Fred.
Mine and Sean's were right after that.
I know. I'm like, this is the dreamiest dream come true. But he was just phenomenal, and I love him.
It was so,
so much.
Good. I haven't moshed like that in a minute. I had a minor panic attack.
Minor panic. But that was because there were, guess what? People who are do not understand concert etiquette.
Like, the men in that room were just jumping on top
literally.
Of me.
Yeah.
At one point when he ran through the center and played like his his USB songs.
Yes.
It was too much. Much too much for me for a moment. I said, pull me out of this.
Yes.
A few
pull
times.
Pull me out of this.
I felt that way too strongly.
And it's really, men, if you are bigger, taller, please just like look around at where you are and see that maybe you shouldn't be like jumping hardcore into Ashley's 5'4", I'm 5'2".
And then Gabe was like just blocking off all these dudes. I was like doing the Lord's work.
So
us.
Was Sean though. Oh my, both of the guys, because they're, both of our guys are 6'2".
Yeah, so sorry everyone. We are the short girls with the tall.
The tall men.
At concerts, so that's
literally. But they were like blocking us. Because at some point, I was going to be trampled.
Yeah.
You were going to be trampled.
Yes.
So it's just been like, concert etiquette once again. Just be aware of your surroundings.
And it calmed down after that. I think everyone kind of just got way excited. So I get it. It's fine. People are jumping, having a good time.
Yes.
But for me and I was like.
It was a moment.
It was a moment. But I still held my ground.
You fucking crushed it. I was so proud of you. Just like, at some point, you had to go numb. Yeah,
I did.
Yeah. And you're just like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine. You knew where you were with Sean. You knew you were with me. Like, it was fine. It's fine. It's fine. We're fine.
Anyone else get an anxiety when they're just getting crushed? Because me.
I feel like everyone gets that anxiety. I would hope so.
A lot of people weren't feeling that at all.
Well, a lot of people weren't feeling.
Yeah. That's,
you know what
that's
I mean?
That's why. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That helps.
But we did
I was
make,
too sober.
I know. We made this really cool girl gang in the crowd.
Yeah,
so
it was so
shout
fun.
Out to those girlies if you're listening or watching. We had so much fun talking to you. But honestly, one of the best ways to end a year.
Love it.
Fred, God, crushing it.
So good. So we do have some fun little quick snippets of music news that we wanted to just talk about. First one, really funny. We wanted to just chat about how NSYNC teased a tour and then all they had to roll out was their Trolls 2 song. That was upsetting. Got another email. Now they're rolling out Christmas merch. We don't care.
I don't care. When's the tour?
I know.
I honestly think they're doing this because they know we're waiting for it.
Yeah, they're just like teasing
creeping.
Us. Teasing.
Creepy.
And now just JT's canceled. So he was like, hi. And then he's.
I literally wonder if they're like, ooh, maybe we can't do a tour.
Yeah,
now.
Maybe we're waiting.
We're waiting.
We're waiting.
Because of the whole Britney Spears thing, which is.
I have to read that
I
book.
Have to. I honestly want to listen to it because apparently it's read by Michelle Williams, the actress.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, maybe we do that. Listen to it together.
Who wants to have book club with girl music on Britney Spears? I'm here for it. It seems like a lot.
The tea is.
The tea beats.
It's
piping,
hot.
Piping.
It's hot.
Being hot.
A few other things that we wanted to just sprinkle in here, music news wise, is Spotify.
Yes.
Is now. I did create a TikTok about this,
yes.
But they are changing up the royalty. In revenue distribution.
Yes.
And they're now making it if you don't get 1,000 streams plus,
mm-hmm.
then you're not going to be getting paid out.
Yes.
So that's different. And it's going to be starting next year.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're trying to slow down the amount of songs that are uploaded to the platform. I kind of understand as a person that's completely overwhelmed by music.
Yes.
And I feel like they originally were pushing release a song every 4 to 6 weeks. And
they were.
Think that they're now like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
It's such a double-edged sword for me because on one hand, yes, I agree. Please, we need to slow down the consumption of music. You and I are drowning at this point to where, like, I don't even know what I'm listening to half the time.
It's a lot.
It's too much. I don't even have a favorite artist right now because I listen to too much of music.
Yeah.
So I think on one hand, I love that. But on the other hand, getting to 1,000 streams is sometimes very hard for new artists.
Yeah.
Which is a killer to us.
Well, here's the thing, though. Mm-hmm. I think it's more so now when you release a song, mm-hmm. you market it not just to its release. Yeah. You market it for 5 months
yeah.
after.
Yeah.
And that's where you're only releasing one song instead of four.
Yes.
And because we have talked to a lot of up and coming artists yeah. that like barely make 1,000 streams.
Yeah.
But they're releasing so much music. And it's almost like maybe let's sit with it and yeah. keep promoting it, keep pushing it.
And which I kind of like that idea because I yeah. think we do need to go back to that like idea of like, let's sit with the song.
And let's cherish it.
Let's cherish it. Like a little treasure that we find yeah. in the mud. Like, let's take her out and love her.
Yeah. For more than a day.
For more than a day.
Because that's what music is like right now.
I know.
It's literally like, listen to it and done.
I know.
So, I don't know. I'd love to hear everyone's thoughts on this.
Please. Let us know on our Discord.
Let's talk about it. Yes. Because it is a huge move.
Yeah.
And I know that they're trying to combat fraud.
Yes.
Like, they are partners with a huge fraud organization. And
yeah.
they're trying to figure that out as well. But literally, they're expecting music to go up on platforms by 40% by the end of next year.
Help.
That's almost doubling the amount of music already out there.
Yeah.
That's how much people are just turning and burning. And now with AI and yeah. auto-tune and yeah. all this stuff, like people that like me, I'd be like, and just like, have you seen that?
Yes.
Were they frequency?
Yes.
Or frequency?
No, I know what you're talking about.
Where they get it inside the
yes.
pitch range
yes.
and they just fit it. Like what all these TikTokers are doing that are singing so well, they're getting called out right now.
Ooh.
It's a whole thing. Anyways, one last thing that we just found out is TikTok is partnering with Spotify.
So interesting.
Which I think is really great
yes.
for up-and-coming artists
yes.
because the virality is not as important anymore because you don't have to like go viral and then hope people go to your Spotify and go find your music.
Yes.
Now it's like that 15-minute like little snippet. Once you hear that, if you love it, you can just add it to your Spotify.
Which I think is a brilliant way
yeah.
to help the smaller artists get more exposure.
Yeah, and they're partnered with Apple Music right now
yeah.
too, y'all.
So
if you are on Apple Music and you use TikTok, you can also just add it. It's like right, if you love the song, you go click the little thing in the corner.
Yeah.
And then you go click the thing and then the music comes up and then you can just add it.
I think you should make a little TikTok about this.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, thank you. I need a tutorial. I'm a good tutorial. I need a tutorial.
And you see it.
You know, I need a visual understanding.
Yeah.
Well, so many big things coming
to music.
I know,
we just turned and burned through a bunch of stuff.
We really did. But again, if you want to have a conversation with us about it, go to our Discord. We are more than happy to have that conversation. We love chit-chatting about this stuff because really we only have each other and we're so DeLulu at this point that we're just like, yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah. So I think for us, go hang out with us. Come chit-chat about what is happening with Spotify, streaming, everything like that. To get into some more fun, exciting things, our next segment is going to be the most beautiful interviews with two artists that I was so excited to meet. I met with Bloomsday at Casbah on a couple days ago, and they were performing with Beckham and Kari, and it was just like two angels who just understand music and understand what music means to people. Bloomsday is a little indie folk rock duo from Brooklyn. So I talked to them about the New York music scene, which we are very keeping our peepers on. And then I talked to Becca about how crazy her like sonic sounds are and how chaotic she can be in the best ways possible, which
you
know is
love that.
I love it. So excited yeah. to introduce this. This is Bloomsday.
Well, I was going to say, if you know us, this is usually our Girls Backstage segment
yes.
that we have like as an artist spotlight.
Yes.
But we are now, this Adding is a new in. Segment into our podcast.
Yeah. So this is Girls Backstage with Bloomsday and Beckham and Kari.
Hi, I'm Kelsey with Girl Music, and I'm here with Becca Mankari, and she has a show tonight at the Casbah, and we're so excited.
Thank you.
There is something to the feeling, heading it out of the window, being okay that we don't know, and we can have it like we used to, over and over and over and over again.
happy early birthday. I know you celebrate
your
birthday tomorrow in Santa Ana.
So
birthday eve, shall we say,
which
you absolutely celebrate, right?
I think I haven't been on the road for many birthdays, actually, which is weird. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to rage.
No, but you have to do something cool.
Yeah, I think so. I think tomorrow I'm going to try to be on the beach all day.
Oh, my God.
So that would be cool for me.
Shucks. Yeah. Gosh darn.
What a terrible life.
Yeah, what a terrible life. Just to kind of kick it off, you have this crazy folk rock, avant-pop, expansive sound from your albums. Your musical journey has been just insane, kind of all over the place in the best ways possible.
Yeah.
What's been the most surprising or fun part of your evolution thus far?
I think for me, it was producing my own record. You know,
Yeah,
it was like not what I was expecting to do at the time. And it's my third record. Yeah. So being put in that position, it kind of came out of an unfortunate event where the producer was just so aggressive and terrible. And I was able to leave and I had already demoed everything out and I'd done like almost all the work. So
yourself anyway. So did you have to learn and like teach yourself all this stuff?
I had an incredible co-producer.
Oh, hell
and
yeah.
He had the language that I needed and we were a really great team.
Producing is so hard. I sat in on a masterclass once and I was like, I'm lost.
Yeah.
I'm so lost. It's so technical.
It is.
Do you like that aspect of music making?
I do in some ways. I actually have found a lot of solace in being in the studio behind the computer. It's like something like very meditative for me.
Yeah.
So I kind of
You can kind of like zone
it.
Into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The analytical aspect
I
of
like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nerds, we're nerds.
Yeah.
You like spreadsheets, don't you?
I don't like spreadsheets. No, bro. I only like music.
That's fair.
Anything that has to do with music, I'm interested in. But if it has to do with taxes, I'm out.
You're like, I don't understand
the thing. Yeah, I'm good.
Your songs have a way of blending really sharp lyrics with evocative soundscapes, especially on your most recent album. When you're writing, do you start with the words or the music? Or does it just kind of come together in one chaotic mix in your brain?
Yeah, this record was music. For sure.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely built on me creating the sounds where, like I said, like I demoed out everything. So I played all the drums and all the bass, all the synths. And then that was kind of where I started. And that's not always the case. Sometimes, you know, when I first started making music, it was very like songwriter. So I was on a guitar, like it was in the moment. This way of doing it feels really intricate.
Yeah.
And I think that's why this record feels so expansive because it feels like there was a lot of time spent on the sonic sound.
Yeah.
And there was. But I think the next record, I'm just going to go back to like, just rock and roll.
Just cash.
Yeah. Just have fun.
That's so interesting though. You're the second artist I've met who's just been talking about how they write the music first, which I find so unique. Like you hear people, they mostly write lyrics first and then they develop music.
Yeah.
But you just were like, we'll find words to this at some
point. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because words are the hardest for me. Like a lot of songwriters will say that, but sounds feel like exciting and interesting.
Yeah, okay.
And words feel really laborious. Like there's just like so many like words that don't feel like they fit, or there's so much baggage with words and language. So I would say that is my most difficult part.
That's such a beautiful I don't know way to put things.
Oh, you know.
So obviously you worked with Brittany Howard on Don't Even Worry, which I'm so jealous of. I have to ask, how is it working with such an iconic singer, songwriter, human? The beauty that she is
the most beautiful person. I think for me, you know, it is something. Actually, it's funny, I was talking to a friend, another musician, about this last night. We had dinner and I said, you know, the only person I've ever really been like around is my best friend, because I do sometimes look at her and we chill so hard, we hang so hard, we just laugh so hard, we just like, we're bros, you know? We really are. We're just like bros. I'm texting her right now, you know?
I love that.
But when I see her when she's in the zone, that is when I'm just like, oh,
just in awe.
Yeah, it's just the next level. It's just like, I think there's amazing musicians and Brittany Howard. There's an asterisk.
No,
yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, she's touched. She knows.
As long as
she
understands
she's
the best.
She knows.
Okay.
As she deserves to be.
And when working with her, did you find that your like creative vision changed at all? Or did you feel more confident to move forward with what you were doing?
You know, that's a great question, actually. I think watching her, learning from her, created an ability for me to see that it's actually attainable.
Yes.
So she's gifted, she's blessed, and like, but she's also like us too in a way, and like
us mortals.
Yeah. And then also because she's I think the thing with Brittany that really helped me with my own production is she's almost like a kid. She's like a kid when she produces, and so there's no rules.
Yeah.
And that's when you make the most interesting sounds.
Oh,
when
I
you
love
become
that.
A kid again. Like, because that's just invented.
I'm gonna cry. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's
true. That's so beautiful.
Yeah, of course.
Obviously, your single Over and Over dives deep into your early days as a queer and gender expansive person. When writing such personal songs, is there a moment of hesitation, or is it just like, let's just kind of send it and this is me?
Yeah, that song was really fun to write. I wrote it with another great artist named Liza Ann.
Yeah.
I think when we were writing that, I did have a little bit of, it was a really quick co-write. It was the fastest I've ever done.
Crazy.
Liza's just like was so in the zone and I could feel that. But I did tell them, I said, you know, I really wanted to write this song that felt really fun and like cool and sexy, but had this like kind of intense reality check.
Yeah.
I think we really accomplished it. And yeah, there was a little bit of like, there's always a little bit of a moment where you're like, well, will somebody ask me eventually, like, what does that exactly mean?
Yeah.
And then, you know, for me, it's kind of crazy to put your life with others in
yes.
a song.
Yes.
So yeah, I kind of, I mean, listen, the die has been cast. In general, in my music. So I can't.
You're like, I can't go backwards. Yeah. I think that's so, it's so vulnerable to put yourself on stage
yeah.
and, you know, have that exact same kind of moment of when you were writing it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
It must be at some point cathartic.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just like, I've healed.
Yeah.
Your therapist is like, thank God.
Yeah, I know. My therapist does not listen to my music. And, I think on purpose.
Yeah. I was about to say, your therapist is like, we'll dive too heavy.
Yeah. Yeah.
This.
I think that would be too much for them.
So your sound encompasses so many different styles. Are there any particular artists or genres that you're currently really inspired by?
Yeah, I am. It's funny because they just played here recently, a band called Pale Hound.
Yes.
And Elle is a new friend. We just met like this last,
cool.
yeah, this summer. And we have like a lot of mutual friends and I just love them immediately.
Yeah.
They're
oh, yeah.
an incredible person. And I think I've been really inspired by wanting to play loud.
I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah. I want to play loud and I want to play like. Fast again. Like,
yeah.
I think I just want to, like, this next, I'm already thinking about the next
I
record.
Know, I know.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. But I
slow down.
No, I know. I think, like, with Left Hand, I really did everything I wanted to do
yeah.
in that record. And now I'm kind of playing again, like,
yeah.
as a kid. Like,
oh,
I'm just
yeah.
like, I'm
just exploring.
Yeah. And I think that Elle has done a really good job of, like, creating cool rock and roll again.
Really
like,
cool rock and roll.
It's like,
yeah.
it's got a message too, which is, like, always going to be part of my music.
Obviously, after creating Left Hand, we were just talking, you're mm-hmm. already thinking about new music. What's kind of next for you?
Yeah. I am going to go home and start recording right away.
Oh my God. Where's home for you?
Nashville. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. It's no San Diego.
Oh, that's fair. That's
yeah,
fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have a leg up on the ocean.
We have a big leg up on
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But no, it's good. I mean, there's just like so much opportunity in
there
music
is,
there.
Yeah.
yeah. And, like, that's how I met Brittany and a bunch of other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go home. I think I'm going to do actually. And now I'm putting myself on the line for this, but I think I'm going to do a cover song, which
yes.
I've never done before. Never done it before.
Oh my God.
And I think I'm going to do, so I'm touring with Brittany in February.
Oh my gosh.
Opening for her.
Sick.
Yeah.
That's
sick.
So cool. With your bestie too.
Yeah, my
that's
best.
So
I know.
Cute.
I know. It's sexy. She's on
so
tour right
cute.
Now too. And she's like, bro, how's tour? I'm like, it's good. And I think that when we go on tour, it's like we try. It's always different when you're opening because when we had a band together,
yeah.
we were just like able to run around together all the time.
Right.
But I'm trying and I'm hoping because they were doing like 2 to 3 shows in the same city.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll be there. Like,
that's so nice.
So yeah. We'll
so have. You actually have time to like.
I'm kind of worried. We rage. So I'm like.
Oh, my, I was.
I don't rage on tour anymore.
Weirdly enough,
yeah.
I was thinking sleepovers and like just like listening to sick music that like
yeah,
no
rage.
One's ever heard of. I love. Well, that's. Hello, I'm Kelsey with Girl Music, and I'm here with Bloomsday, and they are performing tonight at the Casbah in San Diego.
Stories to hide. What were we built and made for? Everyone was hiding for their lives.
So you've been opening for Becca for a long stretch of the tour. What has been one of your favorite moments on tour thus far?
Definitely LA was really, really fun.
Yeah.
We like had a guest come onto the bill, ER Fightmaster.
Who I love, by the way.
Yeah, super epic.
I'm so jealous.
And they're really good friends. So, you know, I was able to like meet everyone.
That's so cool.
And I've been doing the tour mostly as a duo.
Yeah.
But I had like a band. We did like a full band set that night. With actually two people that I hadn't played with before. Like we played with each other for the first time like the day before.
What?
And it went really well. It was like my favorite show I've ever
and
played.
And they just picked it up like that easily.
I mean,
musicians are wacky like that.
I could never. Yeah,
I
mean, they were like vetted and, you know,
musical friends. I would hope. Yeah. I
had a good feeling about it.
Wait, so what extra instruments did you end up having?
So playing as a four-piece were drums, bass, and then the two guitars.
Gotcha.
And we're the duo. We have like a drum machine and then two guitars.
Nice. Yeah. That's so cool. Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
It was really fun.
That's fun though. Was it like a big party essentially?
It was huge. Yeah.
Good.
We all went out after and I just felt like, you know, LA can be very like glamorous, but I'd never played LA before.
Yeah.
So, you know, meeting people that I had been fans of like for so long.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then, like coming to the merch table, I was like, oh my God.
You're like
so LA right now.
Bougie.
Yeah. It's so LA.
Well, you do talk about your brotherly dynamic between you and your other partner.
Yeah.
I would love to know, like, how does your bromance kind of play out on stage when you guys play together?
You know, I feel like music is a chance to have a sort of like unsaid dynamic between two people. It's like where your like emotions can speak. And so that kind of like playing back and forth is really fun because it will change based on like how you're feeling that day and like, you know, where you are. So I think it just is like an aspect of what brings us really close together.
Yeah.
And I feel like, yeah, that just comes out in the music.
Do you feel like it's a comforting thing to have someone else on stage with you?
Yeah, I really do. Yeah. I mean, I've definitely thought about solo forming and it totally terrifies me.
I would
for
so
some
scared.
Reason
yeah.
I just feel like I need a little buddy there.
I love that.
You know, like the drum machine and the guitar, it's like there's a lot to do and they really pull the weight of the songs, I think.
Because your music is so big, you almost need to have that other person to carry that weight of it
too.
That's
how I feel.
Songs on your debut album, like ISO, how do you
ISO?
Yeah. Okay, perfect.
Like when you're on the dating app and you're in search of
I'm too old for dating apps. Like,
okay.
I never hit that period where I had to be on a dating app,
okay.
Which is so nice.
They say now, so ISO is like, I'm in search of this.
That's
so I sort of was playing on that because
it
was like the pandemic
I
and
know.
I was like on dating apps and that's literally what
and
happened.
Why
yeah.
at that
but
point.
Then it was like this really deep song about being like
no.
in search of myself.
No,
and,
literally. You know. So I was going to ask you, like, do you feel kind of, I know it was written in the pandemic, so do you feel emotionally charged when you perform older songs like that? Or is it more, you view them differently
it's
now?
A good question. Yeah, I think songs are one of those, like, they're timeless. So they'll always kind of, you listen to like a Sheryl Crow song, like it'll always hit, but it might hit you differently, you know, when you're a certain age or when, you know.
Yeah.
So I actually do have an experience where I sort of like feel the song in a new way. And every tour I've been feeling like that song, I cry at least like one show on a tour.
This is why.
And then
I
know
you.
I'm like, okay, why now?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that one really just kind of gets at my inner like monologue a lot. So that kind of doesn't go away. It's not like I've like totally lost, you know?
Yeah. You don't black out on stage. Like, I'm not going to feel these feelings.
Oh no. Yeah. I don't. Well, depends on the day. Right. Like, I mean,
you're like, maybe when I'm a little
there's
tired.
Some nights where I'm like, yeah, I can't quite drop into this right now. Like, I'm just not
Which
quite
is
here.
Fair. A-okay.
But yeah, most of the time I think it takes over and the timelessness of it is sort of like in that moment of time, that's what we're in. We're in the song.
Right, right. And when you guys create music, is it just you that's creating it? Or you and Alex, right?
Yeah.
Is it both of you doing it? Is it methodical?
For that first record, we were like, not 50-50 necessarily, but like I would bring in the song and then we kind of like make it.
Yeah.
Bloomsday. And then for this upcoming record, which we actually released one song.
I know.
The record was made with more people. So he was totally
sick.
A collaborator. And then we worked with other friends. My friends in a band called Babe Hoven like some
they
of my besties.
Like the nicest people.
Yeah, we stayed at their house and had a bunch of like musicians and friends come in and like collaborate on it. So I love working with other people.
Yeah.
And like everyone bringing their different take to the table.
Uh-huh.
And us like figuring out what it is. But I'll write the song and then like bring it to others.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like.
Do you find that when you're writing, it's a little bit more chaotic? Or are you a person that like sits down and is like, okay, verse, chorus, you know?
Every song has like a whole
it's a
different
world.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I was a little quicker, but I'm pretty slow.
That's fair.
But some songs, like the best ones, usually just come out in like 20 minutes.
I have talked to so many artists who say that all the time.
It's true.
They're just like my favorite songs.
Frustrating truth.
Yeah.
Because you can't really like will that moment into existence.
Right.
So most of the other time you're just like really trying to get something.
I love that, you know?
And then like those moments will happen to you like on the bus.
Yeah. So when you guys, because I know you guys do some like sick guitar solos. What does it feel like when you just like nail it on stage? Is it just a best moment in the world?
I'm not a guitar soloer. I can't own that.
I think you could.
I believe you, maybe one day.
Okay.
But that is where Alex and actually Chris is the person that's joining me. He's usually plays his bass with us.
Oh, fun.
He's shining bright as the guitar player on this tour.
Oh my God.
And he like rips into solo sometimes. I feel like something has taken over him.
You're like demon.
Like, oh my goodness.
You're like, see, religious trauma everywhere.
It's more like an angel, but
yeah. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute.
No demons.
So I know you would live in Brooklyn. What yes. has the music community been like out there? Do you feel supported by the scene?
Yeah.
How's it been?
Yeah. I mean, I've been there for a minute. I'm going on 7 years.
Whoa, you're a veteran.
Yeah. I mean, sort of. The scene sort of like takes form and shape as spaces close or open.
Right.
I think it's really cool right now. And there's some really creative, awesome people and a lot of energy, I think, for people to go to shows.
Yes.
Like when I first moved to New York, there was like a lot of the DIY venues were closing. So there was a bit of a lull.
Oh.
I don't know about people. People were still going to shows no matter what, but I did feel like the scene was like sort of like what's happening.
Yeah.
And then
changing.
Yeah. Post-pandemic. Yeah. I think there's been like a really cool situation having a lot of different subsections. And I definitely feel close with the scene. Yeah.
That's so nice. Because I think even we keep our eye on that New York scene constantly.
Yeah.
And just a lot of people that we've met coming out of it are just so genuine and so excited about their community. I'm like, let's keep going. You know, it's almost punk rock in a way.
Yeah. People really, I mean, New York has like a lot of ambition in it.
I know.
So we've got a lot of energy.
Hard people.
To make it happen.
You do. I'm tired,
I have not met like a lazy person.
No. Really. Versus out here, we're like, oh God, too much work.
I mean, it's so nice.
To go.
I live in paradise.
I know. That's
we're
why.
Living with like, you know,
some the rats, gnarly the sewer rats.
Literally on my step.
Literally. Yeah. Oh, gross.
Yeah.
I'd love to also kind of know what has been your favorite songs to perform off the record thus far.
I love the song Phase.
Yeah.
Oh, always love playing it.
My favorite.
Really?
Yes.
I love that one because we have this really cool breakdown in the middle.
Yes.
And I feel like it's always different every night. So that one can always like surprise me.
Stop it. See, it's a joke amongst me and Ashley that I love chaotic music and you are the epitome of chaotic music sometimes.
Oh, cool.
Almost teetering on like Black Country New Road chaos.
Oh,
if you
great.
Had like a ton of more instruments,
that's a
compliment. You know? I think what I love about Phase is it's just you can tell you were just like, I'm sending it on the first song. I'm going deep. This is a rough song emotionally.
Here we go,
buckle up, bitches, kind of moment.
Yeah.
Did you know you wanted to start off your debut album that way?
I did not.
You were just like, this is me.
It's funny. Like, I mean, I haven't met many people that think of the concept of the album before.
Yeah.
I just wrote a bunch of songs.
Yeah.
And I was like, I should make an album.
Yeah.
And then as they came together, I think that one just felt like the essence of the band.
Yes.
Was really in that
oh
one.
My God.
Yeah.
I feel that. I feel it deeply.
Thanks.
And finally, what's an album or an artist that's changed your life thus far?
Oh my gosh. Well, definitely Adrian Lenker. Big time.
I get those vibes from you 100%.
Thanks. That's a huge
oh
compliment.
My God.
Yeah, I've been like a huge Big Thief fan forever. And I know all of her solo albums by heart.
She's
and
beautiful.
I do think, yeah, like we saw her live. We've seen them live a bunch, but I went to see her live and I think she played for like 2.5 hours. And then all of us, like she was saying she was going to be done soon. It's dead quiet. It's full in Webster Hall. And we're all just like, don't stop.
Yeah. We're like, no, no,
no, no, no. Three more
hours. Yeah. 10 more records.
Please keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard she does command such a presence. Like she,
unbelievable.
It's
she really takes me over.
Yeah.
And I think I'm always striving to kind of get in touch with that magic as
yes.
an artist. And
yeah.
reality feels like it takes you away from it. And so she's, I think, someone that inspires me to like continue to access that and that it is accessible and that like you can make that.
And you can be weird.
Oh, she's so weird.
She's
like
so
a total
weird.
Alien.
Yeah, she actually is. Well, what would you like to promote? What's coming up for you in 2024?
Okay. we released a single on November 9th, the
so
night
good.
Of the LA show. It's
so
called
good.
Where I End and You Begin.
Oh.
And we haven't quite announced when the record will be out, but we have a new album coming in the next year.
That's so exciting.
I'm really excited about it. I do think it's like my favorite songs I've ever written, hands down. And we'll probably be touring a lot. I know we're going to be at South by Southwest. So
so are we.
Oh, great.
We're going to have to hang out again.
Amazing.
Yeah, you're going to have to meet Ashley. We're going to do this.
It's like camp. It's like going to camp.
That is a great way to say that. I love
it's
that.
It's adult camp.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank
so
you.
Excited for your show tonight. We'll see you later. Bye.
Yeah, bye.
I am so excited for this segment. This has been one Ashley and I have been ready to do.
Oh, ready.
Ready. This is Rating Pitchfork Ratings. We are going to dive each into one of Pitchfork's craziest reviews we've ever seen.
I'm baffled that these exist. Like, truly embarrassing for them.
Honestly, and if you don't know Pitchfork, Pitchfork is an online music media platform. They do reviews.
They've been around forever. Rating.
Yeah, right. They've been known to, like, be sassy. They literally have writers who are, I think, just sad about life or angry. So you get these weird reviews that are just like so off the cuff and so like not realistically thinking about music. So we wanted to dive into two of our favorites, and guys, they are hysterical.
Oh, man.
I am ready for y'all to see this. So Ashley, kick us off with Pitchfork Ratings.
Oh, my God. My first Rating Pitchfork Ratings.
Hey, it's truly your first.
It is my first. Is Sigh No More by Mumford & Sons.
I am already dead at this.
So Sigh No More is the debut studio album by British folk rock band Mumford & Sons. I'm just going to give you a little background on the album before we get into the Pitchfork rating, because I really want you to see how well the album did. And then we can dive in. So
how missed the point this review
was. The plot
was
just missed.
Lost.
So it was released on October 2nd, 2009 in the UK. And on February 16th, 2010, it was released in the US and Canada.
Wow.
So this was a long, long time ago.
Oh, where are we?
We were fresh.
20.
Yeah, 20. Wow.
Oh, no.
13 years ago. The album entered the UK album chart at number 11 and peaking at number 2 in February 2011, in its 72nd week on the chart, and following its album of the year win at the Brit Awards.
Oh my God.
So it literally won an album.
It never got to number one. That's so surprising to me.
I guess not.
Interesting.
In mid 2010, it was rated the year to date's 8th best record on NPR's All Songs Considered.
Shut up. Which is like who I follow.
Yeah,
and
like
look
literally,
to.
They understand.
Dying.
In the United States, it was third most digitally downloaded album of 2011, selling 761,000 copies. Album went 3 times platinum in the US and 6 times platinum in the UK. Okay.
So now we know. We know that this is now, an important record.
Now that you all understand
oh
that this album made a huge, huge impression on the public.
Yes.
Like, literally, we all know.
It kicked off that folk scene.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. So now that we all know where we're at in this, let's get into the Pitchfork rating. So Pitchfork gave a total rating of 2.1 out of 10. And if you guys don't know, their average score is 6.
Yeah.
Their average score is 6. They never get this ruthless.
This ruthless.
This is intense.
It's a different level.
I'm like 2.1. Insane. This review was written in 2010, right after the album was released in the US. This review sounds like it's written by a scorned ex-lover. The review calls out Mumford & Sons for being a family business selling products at discount prices as they play off their name. Because their name, Mumford & Sons, is supposed to
like an old-timey shop.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I quote, West London band's faux family business actually sounds like a business once supplying value-added products at discount prices.
That is why.
This is their debut album.
Why?
Their negativity continues throughout the review by stating, and I quote, by spreading their attention around so many different trends, they aim to do many things adequately, perhaps to distract you from an inability to do any one thing especially well. And, I quote, conveys the same sense of hollow, self-agonizing drama, and they pull that shit on every track.
Who hurt this author? Who literally sat there and was like, this is just the worst, most vapid, like, Who, where, why?
And it's just, yeah, it's insane. So as the review breaks down the songs, I literally laughed out loud.
Yeah.
Stating in, I quote, he, as in Marcus, whines on the track White Blank Page.
Wines? Have you heard that man's majestical voice?
And Little Lion Man, which is already a hit in Britain, but sounds overly self-absorbed in its incessant mea culpas. Thank you.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. As if admitting wrongdoing in a noble gesture. I quote, I really fucked it up this time, didn't I, my dear? As in like the song lyrics.
Yeah. Which is... one of my favorite songs of all time.
The review ends with negativity towards the song Dust Bowl Dance, what sounds like the least believable stab at a murder ballad ever set to record. The lyrics, I'll go back and I'll get my gun, Mumford sings, like a man who has never handled a firearm in his life.
Are they, like, no, this is a scorned lover.
And thank you.
This is someone who has, like, like a very specific relationship to someone in this band.
Someone. So, like, after reading this interview, it just really shows how out of touch the writers at Pitchfork can be.
Yes.
I mean, the album that deserves well above a 2.1, and many would say, is timeless with tracks Awake My Soul, The Cave, Little Lion Man, Time Shell, Awake It. Oh, I put that twice because I love that song. And After the Storm, this album is, dare I say, their best album.
Yes.
A beautiful and relatable folk masterpiece that has influenced many up-and-coming folk musicians.
A billion percent.
Like, I mean, it's just literally insane.
That is savage.
I rate this Pitchfork rating a 0 because it just... it doesn't understand the plot at all.
No. I think, too, it's like, it's almost like at that time, too, Pitchfork was overly hipster.
Yeah.
And so, it was like, any kind of mainstreamness that happened in the music industry, they were so quick to be like, that's bad. But then yet they rate every Kanye West album a 10.
Yeah.
And then my eye, like, yeah, okay, some Kanye, but like... really?
I know. It's just, it's really interesting because I do think that they were trying to talk shit on this because it is, it's not because it's very different from what was going on at that time.
I know. I really do think like Gabe hates Mumford and Sons. Like, he cannot deal with that kind of like, yeehaw, can't do it. But like, I think for me and you, we were like, this is fresh at that time. This is something new. Because out of that, you got the Lumineers. You got all the other bands that I can't think of. Head in the Heart you had. Like, just all of that folk renaissance really started with Mumford & Sons.
It definitely influenced a lot of people in the folk genre.
It did.
And it's just, it's like, those lyrics and some of those songs are heartbreaking.
Little Lion Man destroyed me
when
I first heard it.
It's all so good. So, Pitchfork, what? I'd love to hear your guys' ratings of this Pitchfork rating.
I would also just love to see, like, do you love this album? Is this accurate?
Or is this
insane?
Rate this Pitchfork rating a 10. Because that...
Maybe. I love that one. I think when you sent this to me, I was wheezing because it's just... so off the point.
It's overly mean.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And we're like, why are you like this? Especially their debut. Can you imagine if like a huge publication like this came out with that?
Which is crazy. Like the perfect segue into mine.
Yeah, because no, I'm so
also
excited.
A debut album from an artist, from a band that is quite well known nowadays. I am talking about Greta Van Fleet's Pitchfork rated their debut album, Anthem of a Peaceful Army, a 1.6.
God.
Ooh. You're going to die of this. I have quotes to read because they're so funny. So obviously Greta Van Fleet, we know them today as the rock and roll band out of what seems like the 70s. We know lead singer... we have Josh and Jake, I think their names.
Very Led Zeppelin.
Very.
Vibes.
Yeah, Josh and Jake, they're twins. Josh being the singer who actually just came out and he's living his best little life. We're so proud. But this is the most savage I've ever read of Pitchfork. So they say... they say Greta Van Fleet sounds like they did weed exactly once. Called the cops... and tried to record a Led Zeppelin album before they arrested themselves.
What?
Why? That is such a weird little, like, scenario.
Antidote. Yeah.
And by the way, they use words all the time that make no sense to anyone.
Yeah.
So caterwauling, I don't know what that means. Caterwauling third brother Josh is in a dangly feather earring and vinyl pants like he was dressed by a problematic Santa Fe palm reader with a gift certificate to Chico's. Why is that so, like,
weirdly specific
to his appearance?
Yeah, I don't know.
Which is the biggest issue I have with this review is none of it is really about the music. It's literally about them being a copy and pasted version of Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Which it's like, okay. So are they a good? Billion other yeah. bands.
Yeah.
Of other bands. So it keeps on going. It's so fucking funny. My final quote from this hilarious review, which the entire thing is insane to me, is the only issue that they have with the music is it's proof of concept that in the streaming and algorithm economy, a band doesn't really need to capture the past. It just needs to come close enough so that a computer can assign it to its definite article.
What?
Right? So definite they're essentially just saying, like, well, Greta Van Fleet just, like, puts
it's
out
on playlist because it sounds
because
like
it sounds like something else, and they're doing it for the algorithm. Mind you, this came out in 2018 before we were really like the algorithm,
yeah.
You know. So it almost is just like such a savage dig into.
Jeez, that I know.
Like to talk about someone's, like, they talk about all their appearances. It's bizarre. The only issue they have with the music is that it sounds like Led Zeppelin,
which is hard to do. Hello.
Yeah, and also Greta Van Fleet puts on, which they did not talk about, puts on one of the craziest good shows I've seen
them?
Live. Yes, by accident, when I wasn't a Greta Van Fleet fan.
I saw them too at ACL.
Yes.
They were great.
Josh's voice is
so amazing.
Stunning.
Yeah.
So to say that they're, and by the way, better than Led Zeppelin. I mean, you don't see fucking, what's his butt, like scream singing on Led Zeppelin. I mean, sometimes you do. But albeit to say, like, this is an insane review because it doesn't focus on the album itself. Like, if you had criticisms about the music, I'd be like, yeah, that tracks. Like, is it their best? No. But it's still so rude and so off the fucking plot.
Yeah, every
to
time.
To just be like, this is a copy and pasted version. Well, I could say that about half the people in this world.
I know, 1.6 is rough.
1.6 is rough, especially because they really came, they like made this album because they got big off of their like little EP that they did.
Yeah.
So they really just got shat on immediately. Like, just.
I wonder if fans even listen to Pitchfork. What do you rate this rating?
I honestly rate their rating a 1.6. I agree. Sometimes it is a little
nice.
Copy and pasted. I agree. Of course. There's nothing like super
original.
But
there's
original.
Really not a lot of bands that are as good as they are.
Thank you.
Because there are so many people try to.
Well, they compare them to The Darkness. Which, by the way, one hit wonder, The Darkness.
Yeah.
That's
well,
who you're comparing it to?
Not the same.
Not
at
the
all.
Same.
Yeah.
So again, just a hilarious Pitchfork rating where they're just missing the fucking point at all times. And honestly, so rude to literally just hone in on.
I know that's not about the music.
That's nothing
Get
about the music. Like Pitchfork, you're a
stop,
music
stop,
company.
Just stop.
Just stop. Just stop.
That was fun.
That was wild.
We loved that.
I love digging into Pitchfork. Next time I'm telling you I'm doing a Kanye West one, y'all better buckle up because I will rip it apart. Because they rate every one of his a 10.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My God.
And sometimes they are not deserving. So.
Oh, I want to see which one album you pick.
Oh, it's going to be good.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be good. But I think this is a hilarious segment. Again, if you guys agree, disagree, let us know in our Discord. We're so curious. Also, if you have a Pitchfork rating that you
want us to rate, I would love that. Tell
us. Please send it to us. We will either say yes or rip it apart on this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are destroying Pitchfork.
We're so hardcore.
By the way, I'm pretty sure both of these reviews written by men.
Oh.
Just saying. And with that, we say goodbye.
Bye. Yeah. And goodbye.
And goodbye.
One last thing before we wrap up this episode today is we do want to tell you guys about our merch.
Look at our little baby merch.
We just put it all up on our website, so go check it out. We are obsessed with it. We get compliments on it all the time.
Yeah.
It's so comfy.
It is.
It's cute.
Yes.
And it's just a cozy little way to support our life. Small business.
Yeah, please. And honestly, like, these are in limited runs.
Oh, they are very limited.
Very limited. So don't wait. It's almost Christmas.
Oh.
If you want to get a present for yourself or for a fellow girl lover.
Yeah.
Please. We are so excited. This is an incredible drop for us. We're so excited to have Connor Tomatoes, who did all of our design work, just out there in the world. It, like Ashley said, so comfortable, so bright.
Yeah, just fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It's fun.
Look at this guy dancing with his dog.
Look at this guy. He's just folking around.
Nice.
But thank you guys so much for hanging out with us for another incredible episode. We will be back. You're going to see us throughout your screens throughout the entire winter, a little birdie once told me.
Yep.
So make sure you follow us everywhere. We are on YouTube. We are on TikTok. We are on Instagram. We are on Discord. We are on Threads.
You could almost get too much of us.
You can definitely. But to be fair, we also change up our content on every platform. So you should follow us everywhere because we're giving different kinds of educational resources, new music, recommendations, anything and everything everywhere.
Yeah.
So go follow us at Girl Music and be sure to like, subscribe, thumbs up,
share with a friend,
comment what you hate about us. Don't do that, please. We'll cry.
We're sensitive. Don't do that. Babies. I was like, oh, no.
We're so sensitive.
What you love, what you love.
What you love, what you love. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Love Bye. You guys. Bye. Stories to hide. What were we built?